This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Come fly with me, let's fly away. If you can use some exotic booze, there's a bar in far Bombay. Come fly with me, let's fly away. Come fly with me, let's float down to Peru. In Llama Land, there's a one-man band, and he'll toot his flute for you. Come fly with me, let's take off in the blue.
Oh, Frankie.
Once I get
I want to fly with you somewhere. Good morning and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy. And along with our buddy, partner, Big Ed Davis, we thank you for joining us. It is Wednesday, February the 9th. Lots to talk about in a few minutes. Zach Smith of the Heritage Foundation is going to be here. We are going to talk about rising big city crime and rogue prosecutors. It should be pretty interesting, so stay tuned for that. And almost 40 Republicans are calling on Joe Biden to take a mental fitness test, just like Donald Trump did when he was president. So let's get some thoughts on that, among other things, from the proprietor of the Barber Pole, Andrew Ceraci. And we got a lot of Florida and Governor DeSantis stories today. There is a sex gender bill here in Florida. We're going to talk about that. There is also the ongoing, conversation about a Donald Trump, Ron DeSantis rivalry. Is there any truth to that? We'll take a look at it. Speaking of DeSantis, you know what he's calling the Olympics, Beijing Olympics? The Genocide Olympics. So you can kind of get an idea of what he thinks about holding those games. We will talk about that as well. Also, we have a great top 10. The top 10 states with the highest overall taxes. Overall. Maybe you're in one of them. Hopefully not. So stay tuned for that towards the end of the show. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. Guys, I keep saying this. You got to take the opportunity to get to Andrew's Master Barbershop if you want the best haircut in Tampa Bay at the best price. It's that simple. It's over in Dunedin in the Overcash Plaza. That is on Overcash Drive, and it's just north of State Road 580 Main Street. Call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. All right. Well, we got a lot going on. This thing about Biden taking a cognitive test, I got to lead with it, even though we're going to talk about it a little bit later with the Master Barber. Nearly 40 Republicans are calling on Joe Biden to take a cognitive test following the example set by Donald Trump. Remember when he had to take the test or did take the test? The Republican push for Biden to undergo the test comes as recent polls show Americans are unsure about Biden's mental fitness for office. Former physician to the president, Ronnie Jackson, remember him with Trump from Texas? He led a letter with 37 of his colleagues in the Republican Party, lawmakers, all of them, to Biden, expressing their concern with his current cognitive state. Here's a quote from it. My colleagues and I are again asking President Biden to immediately undergo a formal cognitive screening exam, such as the Montreal Cognitive Assessment, or MoCA. He says, as a former physician to three presidents, I know what it takes mentally and physically to execute the duties of commander-in-chief. Joe Biden has continually proven to me and to the world that something isn't right. The American people deserve to have absolute confidence in their president's cognitive ability. Now, Ed mentions that Okay, he takes the test and let's say he fails it. And they decide to get rid of him. What does that mean? It means that we got Kamala Harris for our president. And he said, do we really want that? I think that's a good point. She might have more, what's she going to say, more brain cells that are working, but she's a stubborn little thing. And I'm not sure that she would be a better president. Now, he is like a dog on a leash, isn't he? Being dragged around or pushed around, whichever way you want to say it. She may go her own way, but do we have any confidence in whatever route she takes? See, here's the thing. There's no backup. It's like, Ed, in a baseball game, if you don't have any good relief pitchers, you got to keep the starter in.
There's nobody in the bullpen.
There's nobody in the bullpen.
You remember how when Biden was first elected that you couldn't walk 10 feet without running into Kamala Harris?
Right.
This is like the first month. And then she kind of said some things that made some people upset in their own party, and then all of a sudden now we know one place you can't find her is definitely the border, but you can't find her anywhere else.
True.
I mean, she's totally out of sight.
I think that's a good thing, don't you?
Yeah. Can you imagine that if she was elevated to president, could they really keep her under control? Would she abide by the, quote, rules that are being pushed on Biden right now? Because we know he's not running the country.
She looks to me like a deer in the headlights. If she actually got thrown into that position, it would be like throwing a total greenhorn into a, you know, I don't know what, you know, it's a guy that can't even do any sports into the Olympics. I think she would be like panic stricken, even though she would try to cover it up. And she knows deep down, I'm not up to this.
And her first press conference would probably be a disaster because the first one that really ticked her off, she'd probably just lose it.
Yeah, that's another thing. Because of her, I guess, insecurities, she could lose it very quickly. Hey, you notice how quickly Biden loses it? He called somebody, I don't know if it's in this story, SOB, basically. He said the words.
I thought he called him a dumbass or something like that.
Well, he said that, too.
Yeah, Fox News guy?
He said both of them. Yeah, he said both of them.
Okay.
So he's got at least, I don't remember, maybe Trump would get upset with questions, but he wouldn't use four-letter words, would he?
No, I don't think he's usually
not very much using those kinds of things. Whereas, I don't know, it doesn't make him better or worse, but Biden tends to drop a few of those four-letter words a little bit quicker. And he's got a very sharp temper.
Well, that's, if you catch him after his morning nap and he's fresh, you know,
Is he better then?
Fresh on the ball, then he's snappier then.
Does he snap at you more, or does he snap at you when he's not so much on the ball?
Just enough to show a little fire there. Just,
well, that's true. In other words, he's still alive.
Keeps Putin in line, you know?
Yeah, that's another thing.
Sees that he's got fire in him. You know, look out. I mean, Obama used to shake his finger at Putin.
Oh, that was a scary thing.
Yes.
Very scary. Very scary. I guess if Kamala Harris was president, what would she shake at him? Let's not go there.
Maybe not go there.
No, we won't go there.
You know, Putin's a good-looking man there, you know.
Okay. Well, thank you for that. We're going to take our break. And when we come back now for something totally different, Zach Smith will join us. We're going to talk about rising crime and rogue prosecutors.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Guys, a well-groomed appearance is the first thing people will notice about you after a stop at the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin is that very place, and they've specialized in the art of men's haircutting for decades. They're located in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Andrew's Master Barbershop, open Tuesday through Saturday. Just call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Hey, Hey, Tantalk listeners, Senior Voice America is here. Learn what's affecting Bay Area seniors. From political to financial and health to wealth, it's right here every Monday afternoon at 4 o'clock. Your hosts, political commentator Tim Rice and financial expert Berkeley Badger will bring current, thought-provoking subject material while taking your calls. Senior Voice America Radio, 42 years of service to mature adults and a proud member of the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Wednesday. Delighted to have Zach Smith join us. He is a legal fellow for the Meath Center at the Great Heritage Foundation. He's penned a piece called It's Not Just Rising Crime, Rogue Prosecutors Are a Huge Problem. Zach, welcome to Freedom Works.
Well, thank you so much for having me on today. I appreciate it.
You know, we've got, and you mentioned this in your article, most big cities are run by Democrats. Most big cities have district attorneys that are Democrats. And we got this ongoing situation with horrible crime numbers. I mean, worse than we've had in, I don't know, 20 years in many cases. But you specifically mentioned some of the larger cities and their prosecutors, including L.A. and San Francisco, Chicago, Philadelphia, Baltimore, St. Louis, Boston. They're all democratically run cities. A lot of them have been talking about this this ridiculous funding police and, you know, cutting back on the funding of police. What is going on?
Well, look, unfortunately, we have a wave of prosecutors who aren't doing their jobs, who are committed not to prosecuting crimes, holding criminals accountable, and seeking justice for their victims, but who are instead trying to, in their words, fundamentally transform the criminal justice system. They think it's systemically racist. I disagree. They think we have a mass incarceration problem. I disagree. And so they basically pledge to not enforce many laws on the books, most misdemeanors in many of these cities. Some, like Alvin Bragg in New York City, have pledged not to seek incarceration as a default position, even for very violent crimes, and that in the rare instance where incarceration will be sought, to cap that at a very low number of years. And so, look, the results speak for themselves. We're seeing petty crime increase in many of these cities. You know, we all remember the images of the man rolling through Walgreens in San Francisco on a bicycle with a trash bag filled with goods. But more seriously, gun crimes, violent crimes, and homicides are skyrocketing in many of these cities. And unfortunately, that's what happens when a culture of lawlessness is allowed to fester.
Yeah, you know, it's such an interesting topic. There are so many factors that play into why these things occur. I remember, and you do too, I'm sure, in New York when under Giuliani, Rudy Giuliani, they had a police commissioner that that really tamped down on the small crimes, saying that if you go after the small things, you actually will inhibit the bigger things from occurring. And it seemed to work.
Right. Well, that was Bill Bratton. And you're absolutely right. That was something called the broken windows approach to policing. It was this idea, exactly as you described it, you have to enforce the small crimes to promote a respect for the law, to promote the idea that if you break a law, even a small one, you will be held accountable. And so, look, just to tell you how radical this is, Paul, you have many of these DAs pledging not to prosecute things like resisting arrest, pledging not to prosecute drug possession, pledging not to prosecute, in some cases, possession with intent to distribute narcotics. It's really a radical idea. And unfortunately, it's a group of leftist billionaires, George Soros, Brian Moskowitz, a co-founder of Facebook, or an early investor in Facebook, his wife, Carrie Tuna, who are pushing this very radical vision of criminal justice in the United States. And it's one that frankly harms the communities where it's taken root.
Yeah. You know, I've always wondered, why would they want to do that? They are alienating their own base. Democrats in the cities, they want to be safe. They don't want crime. They don't want to be killed or robbed or whatever. What is it that goes through a liberal prosecutor's mind or a liberal mayor's mind that would actually not want to curtail that kind of crime. What do you think?
Well, unfortunately, like I mentioned, they have a very mistaken notion, I think, that our criminal justice system is systemically racist, and that because it's systemically racist, that we have a mass incarceration problem that particularly targets young black men. And so they want to essentially destroy that system because they claim it's so racist and unredeemable. Now, I disagree with all of those propositions, what has happened when they have stopped prosecuting these crimes, you know, they've pledged to do this in an attempt to help poor and minority members of the community who they say are arrested and incarcerated at disproportionate rates, which, again, I think is incorrect. But what happens instead is that the members of these communities actually bear the disproportionate brunt of the increases in crime. And so when you look at the crime statistics, it is often the poorest members of the community, minority members of the community, who are being injured and killed at its shockingly high numbers.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
So the policies
that
are designed to help these individuals actually end up hurting them the most.
Yeah, absolutely. I still don't understand, though, why they would want to basically poke an eye, you know, into the neighborhoods by defunding the police, eliminating cash bail situations, you know, letting them out, and allowing more crime to occur. I would think, especially now, with everything else that is so volatile, the Democrats have a real chance of really getting devastated in the next elections, and even in the big cities, where people have had enough of it, even though they're Democrats. You know, they go, look at what's going on. I can't buy anything. The shelves are empty. The prices are going up. I've got rampant crime. I'm going to vote Republican, you know. Don't you think the Democrats would, you know, the leaders of the Democratic Party would see that?
Well, look, I'm not a politician, Paul.
I'm not either.
not by Bill Hatton.
Thank God.
But I will tell. Yeah, right. I will tell you to show you how radical these policies are. Alvin Bragg, the new Manhattan DA in New York City. You know, Eric Adams, the new Democratic New York City mayor, his police commissioner, others of his administration. Alvin Bragg, the new DA's policies are so radical that the new police commissioner in New York City, a Democratic appointee, came out and said, look, his policies are dangerous. I have concerns for my officer's safety because he's essentially pledged he's not going to prosecute resisting arrest and certain other crimes. And even New York's Democratic governor came out and said she met with Alvin Bragg and told him, look, I have the authority to remove you from office if you're not doing your job. Now, she's walked back the harsher statements a little bit since then. But just to give you an idea of how radical these policies are, even other Democrats are backing away from them. And I do want to be clear about one thing, Paul. You know, this rogue prosecutor phenomenon we're seeing, it's not really a Democrat or Republican issue. When these Soros-backed candidates or some of these other candidates who are aligned with the movement, they're not just targeting Republican DAs to remove from office. They're targeting other Democrats to remove from office as well. Look at L.A. where George Gascon came into office. He targeted Jackie Lacey. She was the first black female DA in Los Angeles County's history. She's a Democrat. She was, you know, further to the left on criminal justice issues than I am, but certainly no radical by any stretch of the imagination. But because she wasn't a radical, because she didn't buy into these very harmful ideas, she was targeted and defeated by George Gascon, who has implemented some of the most radical non-prosecution policies in the entire country.
Yeah, I come from Chicago, and I watched this Kim Fox, who you mentioned in your article. It's not just rising crime, rogue prosecutors are a huge problem. And we had the Jesse Smollett thing, remember that? She was involved in not wanting to prosecute that thing and this, that, and the other thing. I just don't understand. I know George Soros is a socialist and is funding a lot of these liberal philosophical things. I guess he's having an impact. I just don't understand why they think that going this route of being soft on crime is going to get them additional Democratic votes.
Well, you know, I don't know either, Paul. But
I know you don't. I shouldn't keep bringing it up. It just drives me crazy, well, though, no, to think about it, you know?
It's a great point because I think what really is particularly troubling and what I don't understand is, you know, many of these individuals say that by not prosecuting crimes, by not enforcing the laws, they're actually lowering the crime rates. They're actually making their communities safer, which is just demonstrably false.
Yeah, and they know it.
Kim Fox in Chicago, well, they know it. But here's what's shocking. You know, Kim Fox in Chicago has been very aggressive in not seeking to hold individuals without bail. She's been a big proponent of releasing almost everyone back into the community as soon as they're arrested. And so the Cook County court system, working with her office, are using data from her office as well, put out a study claiming to show that this approach did not increase the rate of crime in Chicago. Now, anyone who watches the news, either in Chicago or the national news, knows that Chicago is experiencing a violent crime wave like something you expect to see in Iraq or
exactly.
at
yes.
the height of the surge. So a law professor at the University of Utah, Paul Cassell, he's a former federal judge, he looked at what the Cook County court system had put out, looked at the data and said, no, this is false. They're skewing the data. They're fudging the numbers, essentially. Of course, if you release more violent individuals into the community, it's going to increase the crime rate. And so what we're seeing across the country is this gaslighting, this pushing of false information, these feel-good platitudes that just don't reflect the reality on the ground. And I think the more people know what these policies are, live with the consequences of these policies, they're getting fed up and starting to push back against many of these individuals and their policies.
Yeah. We're talking with Zach Smith, legal fellow for the Meeks Center at the Heritage Foundation, about these rising crime numbers, especially in major cities, and these rogue prosecutors. Now, Democrats bring up, oh, the gun problem. That's what it is. It's the gun problem. So let, you know, Joe Biden and everybody else immediately gets on that tangent. Let's get, you know, let's start slowing down the purchase of guns. And that gets all of the people that are legitimate gun owners really, you know, up in arms, if I might use that as a pun. And so they go down that route. And yet, how many generations have we had of all of these inner city crimes that have occurred, and we still haven't been able to solve it, or we don't want to solve it, you know?
Well, look, you know, I have a couple of responses to that, Paul. The first is, we all know guns don't kill people, people kill people. And so if you're releasing violent felons back onto the street, you know, the increase in crime, murders, homicides, robberies, rapes, all of that's going to increase regardless of any other actions you may or may not take. But what's particularly ironic, and ironic in a sad way, really, about this pledge to focus on gun crimes and, you know, combat and prosecute repeat offenders who use guns or possess guns when they're not supposed to, is under the Trump administration, when many of these rogue prosecutors were not doing their jobs, U.S. attorney's offices, federal prosecutors stepped into the gap and started prosecuting many many violent crimes, felons in possession of guns, drug offenders, a whole host of crimes. Well, under the Biden administration, rather than doubling down on that policy, helping to step into the breach, Joe Biden has actually nominated one of the most rogue prosecutors to be a U.S. attorney, the chief federal law enforcement officer in Massachusetts, Rachel Rollins. She was formerly the Suffolk County DA there in Boston, and she posted a list of 15 crimes you could commit that she wouldn't prosecute you for, and that is who Joe Biden chose to elevate to be the chief federal law enforcement officer in Massachusetts. So I just think it shows how unserious, sadly unserious, the Biden administration is about really combating this problem.
Yeah, it seems even worse than being unserious. It's almost like they want it to be that way, you know? It's kind of scary, actually.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Zach, it's a pleasure having you on. Thank you so very much. Look forward to talking with you again soon, I'm sure.
Of course. Thanks for having me on, Paul. Take care.
All right. Zach Smith We're going to take our break, and when we come back, we talked a little bit about it. Republicans, a bunch of them, want Joe Biden to take a mental fitness test, just like Donald Trump did. We'll talk with Andrew Ceresi. Maybe he can administer the test. Only the lonely.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Guys, a well-groomed appearance is the first thing people will notice about you after a stop at the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin is that very place, and they've specialized in the art of men's haircutting for decades. They're located in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Andrew's Master Barbershop, open Tuesday through Saturday. Just call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
It's Super Bowl week as Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals get set to take on Matthew Stafford and the LA Rams in Super Bowl 56. And the King and the Cop will be live on air with two special shows, Saturday, February 11th, 10 a.m. till noon, and Sunday the 12th, 10:30 a.m. until 12:30, with exclusive interviews from the world of sports, entertainment, and music. Join the King, Jimmy Lavers, and the Cop, Tommy Setter, with host Mike Straka on Tan Talk Radio, Facebook, and YouTube Live.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back. It's a sunny day here. It's in the 50s. I like it. Boy, yesterday was a crummy day, wasn't it? It was like soup. Well, we got a lot to talk about when it comes to to what's going on with both nationally and here in Florida. President Biden has criticized a controversial bill making its way through the Florida legislature. It addresses conversations that teachers can have with their students about gender and sexual orientation. Now, Biden said, apparently the Senate Education Committee in Florida has approved a bill which says that schools, quote, may not encourage discussions about sexual orientation or gender identity in primary grade levels. So Biden comes out and he says, I want every member of the LGBTQI plus community. By the way, I would like to hear Joe Biden say that way, LGBTQI plus community, because I guarantee you he won't be able to get through that. He said, especially the kids who will be impacted by this hateful bill, to know that you are loved and accepted just as you are. All right. Well, we're glad you think that, Joe. What does that have to do with not teaching first and second graders about their sexual orientation? We've got the proprietor of the Barber Poll. Andrew, if you were a parent of a first or a second or a third or a fourth grader, and they came home talking about that kind of thing, sexual orientation, what would you think?
Well, if my high school student came over and said they're talking about that kind of things in school, I would head to the school right away and say, why don't you start teaching about patriotism, love for their country, how to be a successful citizen, instead of how to be not what you are.
Exactly.
Okay?
Couldn't have said it better.
Ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Yeah. The guy's an idiot. And you know, you're talking about giving Joe Biden a cognitive test.
Yes, well, I'm going to talk to you.
I'm on my way to the Fisher-Price store right now because I want to buy one of the little toys with the triangles and the circles.
Yes,
and see if he can work that one. I mean, that's step one right there because I don't think he can get past that. You know what I mean?
And I think we should have this whole thing on camera. In other words, we set down the little toy. And he's got the triangle and the circle and the square and the rectangle and the oval and everything else. And we have a camera watching him do it, and we'll time him.
And then, you know, I got a little bit of insider stock trading information for you right now.
Okay, let me write this down because I want to make a lot of money.
You need to get in on this right now because you're going to make a lot of money. You got to buy stock in Charboy.
Charboy.
Charboy, yeah. Because Joe Biden is giving away free crack pipes. So he didn't say nothing about the charboy that you got to put in there to smoke the crack with.
Oh!
So you're going to have to buy the Charboy. And I think this company is going to boom.
You know, that crack pipe idea, that's another nonsensical, crazy thing. We're giving away needles. Let's give away crack pipes. What the hell? Let's sell the crack. Well, let's go ahead and say, give away the crack.
Does this guy not realize that along with crack comes crime?
Yeah.
Stealing, murdering, whatever.
You're right.
What is wrong with these people?
You're right.
How stupid are they?
It's amazing how stupid they are. Or gullible. Hey, I got a couple other things I want to talk to you about. One is, you know how they keep fanning the flames of a rivalry between Governor Ron DeSantis here in Florida and Trump?
There's no rivalry.
I know. I just wanted you to know that DeSantis was doing an interview the other day. I think it was on Fox News. And he was in Tallahassee. And he said, Donald Trump's a friend of mine. He's proud when people do well, and it's not just me, but obviously he's a Florida resident, and he appreciates the job that we've done. He's told me that many times. In other words, DeSantis was trying to debunk this so-called rivalry.
There's no question about it. It's all the media, Paul. It's all the media. They need to worry, you know, they need to worry about what's going on in the world. We don't need to worry about COVID no more. We don't need to worry about crack pipes. We need to worry about our open border, okay,
mm-hmm.
Number one. We need to worry about rising prices and everything. The moron says he's going to put sanctions on Russia. Does the idiot not understand that we get 600,000 barrels of oil a day from Russia? Who's going to sanction who?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, it never made any sense for us to start shutting down the creation of the pipelines that we had and then allowing the Nord Stream 2, voting yes, so go ahead with it, and that runs between Germany and Russia. So that empowers Russia, of course, and it also makes Germany want to become more friendly to Russia when we got this Ukraine situation going on. I don't know what they were thinking.
You know, Paul, they need to stop worrying about COVID, and they got to start worrying about democratitosis, because that's the biggest disease taking over this country today and destroying it.
I like it, democrat. I thought it was Bidenitis.
Yeah, it could be that. It's a combination. You know, maybe democratitosis is the, what do they call it, the new version coming up?
Yeah, that must be it.
You know, they got versions of COVID. Now we got versions of bitotosis or whatever.
Well, let's call it demotosis. Demotosis is easier to say.
But, you know, I had an incident, Paul, Saturday, and I couldn't believe this one.
What?
I was pumping gas in my car,
mm-hmm.
and here comes some guy out of the store, and he's cursing. He goes, I can't believe the price of gas went up 2 times in 2 weeks. He goes, that damn Trump. And I just
corrected.
I said, excuse me, sir? You know I had to say so. I said, excuse me, sir? I said, maybe you don't understand what's going on, but when Trump was president, gas was under $2 a gallon. We were the biggest energy-producing country in the world. I said, now we're begging the Russians for gasoline. Inflation is 14%. I says, and you're I said, where do you come from? And then you don't want to hear what I called him after that.
No, I don't.
I can't say it out of the air.
But I can imagine what you called him.
And I did, believe
me. Okay. We got to be careful, you know, especially here at a gas station. Things could get a little hairy there.
I pour gas on them.
Oh, God.
You're what? These people are crazy, Paul.
Hey.
These people are insane. How can they be so stupid?
Yeah. I got one more for you. It also involves Ron DeSantis, and it also involves this interview we had. He said this. I have said previously that I would boycott the Beijing Olympics. I think it's a mistake. China is our number one geopolitical foe. If you look at what they're doing, they're amassing huge amounts of power. And it's not just that they're building up their military, they're commanding huge influence within the United States. And he I think he termed it the Genocide Olympics. You remember Jimmy Carter refused to allow our athletes to go to the Russian Olympics back in 1976 or 80. I can't remember which. But anyway, and yet we've allowed ours to go with all of the problems with China that we've been having recently. What do you think about DeSantis and his view on that?
Paul, I think the kid's got guts of steel. He says it like it is, and he's 100% right. I think the whole world should have boycotted him.
Yeah.
The whole world should have boycotted.
I think so, too.
What they are, Paul. But you know what? People are weak today, Paul. The Canadians surprised the hell out of me with what they're doing. And you know what? They're getting results, aren't they?
You're talking about the... That's another issue we ought to talk about. It's getting to a point. Do you think it's good? Ed was just telling me, I guess they're blocking the Ambassador Bridge.
That's right.
That bridge between Michigan and Ontario. That's a huge... do you want to stop all of the supplies, Paul, that are coming back and forth?
Paul, let me tell you something. Okay. If I was in charge of the truckers right now, I would tell them all, stay home. Mm-hmm. Stay home. Let these people squirm, everybody, me included, okay? This is what this country needs, and the only ones that can stop what's going on in this country is the truckers, Paul. They could be like the day the earth stood still, and that's what needs to be done, to prove to these politicians that we still have the power over them.
Yeah, but what, fair enough, I got you on that. But what happens if everybody, like the truckers, stay home and the shelves are empty and now you've got a panicked public and an angry public?
I can tell you what will happen.
Okay.
That angry public will march on Washington and you'll see those politicians running and hiding in their bunkers quicker than you could imagine, because that's what needs to happen, Paul.
But they'll also take their anger out on the truckers.
No, they won't.
Sure they will.
The people are backing them, Paul.
There are people backing them, but...
The only ones that will turn their backs on them will be your liberals. Mm-hmm. Because people like me will stand behind them 100%, and you know what? We're prepared for something like that to happen, Paul.
I think it's great that they're protesting. I think they're right. I think that they have the right cause. But when they start to hurt everybody else with it's the old story of, you can peacefully protest, but when you start interfering with life going on, then you start to worry about causing other unintended consequences. People get shot. I don't want anyone to get hurt. That's what's going
to
happen.
Price to pay for freedom, Paul.
Yeah.
Look at the lives that have been lost in this country fighting for freedom, Paul.
Okay.
Freedom does not come cheap, and it's not free.
All right, that's a fair one.
Life's gone, I'm sorry. But that's what needs to be done.
Yeah. I think you're making a good point. I just we've got so many other things going on that it would be, I guess, particularly burdensome, would it not?
Especially when you're on the verge of war, too. You're on the verge of war. You don't know what this idiot's liable to do with Russia,
yeah,
with China.
Let me ask you something about that. Do you think he's going to wait until, we're talking about Putin in Russia, do you think he's going to wait until after the Olympics are over with and then go ahead? Do you think he's going to do it at all? What is your thought?
I think he's going to wait till the ground is frozen enough so he can wheel his tanks right across that mud.
Yeah. Well,
that's
true.
What I think.
You know, that's what stopped Hitler. During the Operation Barbarossa during World War II, the cold and the snow and the mud, they were marching towards Moscow at the time. It helped turn the course of the war. They had a horrible winter. Anyway, it's an interesting point you're making, and I think you're right. He may be waiting for the weather to make it easier for them to slide across.
We're right across that mud, Paul. Otherwise, they'll have all kinds of trouble. They start sinking.
Mm-hmm.
No good. But, yeah, he's going to do it. And you know what?
You do believe it.
He's going to do nothing about it. And then you're going to see China right after their Olympics go after Taiwan.
Boy, that would be a mess, wouldn't it?
Well, people think they got a shortage on cars now. They haven't seen nothing yet.
If they go after Taiwan, yeah.
That's right. Well, you don't have to worry about it because they got a new company coming in Tennessee that's going to build all the podiums for the electric cars that China's going to bring in. Don't worry about a thing.
Oh, I love it when I talk with you. Either I become, what's the word? I become so excited and, up, or you can take me to the depths with what you have to say.
You know, Paul, I say it like it is.
I know you do.
I say it like I see it, Paul. And it's all happening.
How is your lovely wife, Nicole, doing?
She's doing great, Paul. She's coming along. Her hair is filling out a little bit. About another 8 months, I'll be able to go out again with her.
Oh, good. And you say it's growing back in. That's wonderful. All right.
Yeah, it'll come back in.
I'm so happy. Al, as always, it's our pleasure to have you with us. And on Friday, we will talk again, my friend.
You got it, Paul.
All right,
go
sir.
Get those crack pipes while they're out there.
Yeah, we're going to do that. I'm going to send that out for them. All right.
Have a good day.
You too. All right, there we go. We're going to take our final break. When we come back, we're going to take a look at a bunch of things, including this, the situation with the Olympics. Biden, DeSantis calling them the Genocide Olympics. Should they be going on at all? We'll talk about it.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Guys, a well-groomed appearance is the first thing people will notice about you after a stop at the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin is that very place, and they've specialized in the art of men's haircutting for decades. They're located in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Andrew's Master Barbershop, open Tuesday through Saturday. Just call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets. From animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are In the Know and In the Now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune into the show on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We thank you so very much for being with us. Want to mention to you that we are here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Tantalk Radio Network, Freedom Works. Glad to be here. Been here a long time. But if you can't listen live, Big Ed has set up all our shows on podcast. All you got to do is go to our website, ourfreedomworks.com, and click on the podcast button at the top. ourfreedomworks.com. Well, we were talking a little bit with Andrew, the master barber, about Ron DeSantis. He was doing an interview with Fox News, and among other things, they were talking about the Beijing Olympics. He said it is a mistake that our athletes are there. And he said he would boycott the Olympics. He called China our number one geopolitical foe. Now, you got to remember that he is a guy that is very much in the radar of the Republican Party as a presidential nominee. I've said many times, I think he's the golden boy of the Republican Party right now. DeSantis also made a mention of NBC. Now, they are carrying the Olympics. And by the way, there aren't many people watching it. They are really turning this off. Now, I don't know if it's because of the China situation or because there's no big names, you know, that we know. I mean, I can't name anybody there that's at the Olympics. Ed, you're a sports guy. Can you name anybody, any athlete at the top, you know, right up without thinking deeply about it? I can't think of anybody that's there.
Well, in...
They have anybody there?
I caught Nathan Chen, the men's figure skater, was the long shot guy that blew it 4 years ago.
Okay.
I wouldn't have known it. And he blew it really, really bad. And, he came out and
but
did
I'm
very
thinking
well.
It's kind of the no-name Olympics to some extent. And plus, we got all the trouble with China. So we got both of those things going on. Anyway, NBC, according to DeSantis, is whitewashing what he calls the Genocide Olympics. He mentions the Uyghurs in China, corporate sponsors of the games like Coca-Cola and Procter & Gamble have been very silent on the ongoing genocide of the Uyghurs, but extremely vocal about their opposition to Republican state election laws and other human rights issues in the U.S. So they'll they'll boycott Georgia and the All-Star game, but they will go to China with the Uyghur situation and they'll sponsor it. I think that's a good point. I think that's a double standard. And yet they were doing that. So DeSantis has brought that up. I don't know. I think he makes a good point. I think about the release of the virus, whether intentional or not, I don't think it was. But getting to the truth of that, the Wuhan laboratory.
Yeah, they can improve that, though. I mean, it'd
know,
be a different
but,
story.
But they are suppressing our looking into it, and that's what I mean about China. You know, they won't allow us to look into it.
Mm.
I don't know. That's just one more reason why I would be very hesitant to send our guys over.
And there's a lot of money in the Olympics too, with sponsorship and all that stuff, and you'd have to cancel all that. And you know, people don't like to cancel money.
I understand that, but still. Money, 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 right? I mean, but I don't know. I just think
it's just, I tried watching it the other night. I think one of the things, too, is you always had the crowd noise, you know, and the skier would come down to the bottom and the crowd would go wild, and there's, you know, four or five people doing a golf clap, you know, is all you see. It just, you know.
So. You are judging the Olympics, as they would say, on points and performance.
Yeah, and we haven't gotten into the meat of the Olympics yet. And, you know, there's stuff like curling right now.
I love curling.
Little ice dancing and women's hockey, of course. So we haven't gotten into the luge and, you know, all that stuff, the good stuff.
Well, which are the ones you want?
I like the luge, you know.
But I mean, what are the meat and potatoes?
I don't know. I can't. It's
skiing
hard.
And ice skating.
I don't think there's a good enough guide out there, you know, to tell you what day is what. And then you got to remember that the stuff that happens, the good stuff happens in the middle of the night.
That's true.
You know?
Yeah. So you're watching a lot of tape.
Well,
and you're not up during the live.
Last night they started their coverage at 8 o'clock. What is it over in Beijing? It's like 8 o'clock at night here is 8 o'clock in the morning there.
Yeah.
Correct?
Yeah, I think you're about right. Yeah, about 12-hour difference.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Before we get to our top 10, we have a good one, by the way. Top 10 states with the highest overall taxes. Ed, I don't want to ask you yet. I'm going to ask you on Friday. You're picking the Super Bowl, so we're not going to talk about the actual game. But I want to talk to you about the betting. Apparently, this Super Bowl is going to have more money spent in betting. And I'm just wondering, why do you think that would be? I find, quite frankly, Cincinnati versus the Los Angeles Rams, I'm not that excited about it.
Well, because betting in the NFL is now a mainstream thing. You saw it throughout the year, ads for DraftKings and stuff like that.
Okay.
So, you know, it's now
more
a mainstay.
Sources of betting.
It was on Fox, you know, it's on Fox pregame football, you know, bet, you know, here, bet there. And so it's.
In other words,
it's being advertised now, is the way I'll put it that way.
Okay.
People that bet on games just kind of did it on their own. Now it's being advertised to bet.
And
on
being
games.
Pushed. And there are more venues.
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay. That's a good answer. I give you an A. All right.
I did in school.
I want to now come, and we'll find out how smart you are when it comes to the number one state with the highest overall taxes. But this is a good one. I found this from gobankingrates.com. It lists, now here's how we do this. We're going to combine the state and local and average taxes. Okay, for each of them, and we'll come up with the formula. So here we go. Top 10 states with the highest overall taxes. Number 10, Maine. Top individual tax rate, 7.15%. Combined state and average local sales tax, 5.5%. Average property tax, 1.2%. So lots of taxes going on in Maine. Number 9, Wisconsin. Their top individual income tax rate is 7.65%, a little bit higher than Maine. Their sales and local tax, 5.43%. Property, 1.53%. All right. Number 8, Iowa. Top individual income tax rate is 8.53. That's a lot. State and local tax, 6.94. Property, 1.43. Okay, number seven. The SAP state. Do you know what the SAP state is at? What's the SAP?
Vermont?
Yes. The SAP state, 8.75% top individual income tax rate, 75, what? That can't be, oh, no, I misread it. Yes, 8.75. Then combined state and average local sales tax, 6.24, property tax, 1.76. Number six, New York. New York, New York. Top individual income tax rate, 8.82. Wow. State and average local sales tax, 8.52. So there you're talking already about 17% of your income right there. And then you got 1.3 on property tax. Number five, Minnesota. Minnesota, top rate, 9.85% for individual income tax there, state income tax. Combined state and local sales tax, 7.46. Average property tax, 1.05. Number four, Oregon.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. Isn't that funny? Oregon. I don't know why, but top individual income tax rate, 9.9%. State and average local sales tax, zero. They don't have any. They give it to you all in your income tax rate. Property tax rate, very small, 0.91%. But it's that 9.90% that gets you.
Mm.
Okay? Number three, New Jersey.
Oh, that was my number one.
Yeah, I know. I would have thought about that, too. Their top income tax rate is 10.75%.
Mm.
God. State and average local sales tax, 6.6%. Property tax is high, 2.13%. Okay? Number two, Hawaii. Listen to this. Income tax rate for the state is 11%.
Mm.
A high, you know, top. State and average local sales tax, 4.4%. Property tax is very small there, 0.31%.
Wow.
Okay. So that leaves us with number one, Ed. What do you think?
I'm going to go with the not-so-great state of California.
Bingo! You are right. It is number one. Top individual income tax rate, 13.3%. Average local sales tax, 8.7%. Average property tax, 0.70%. California is king, it says here.
Mm.
More expensive than anybody else by 2 full percentage points. So don't go to California if you want to save money.
No.
That is for sure.
No.
Okay. Thank you so much, everybody. We love you. We'll be back on Friday. Remember, freedom works.
Clearwater
FM 106.1,
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3.